All right, hello and welcome once again to the Red Dwarf Introcast, except this isn't going to be the Red Dwarf Introcast this episode. No, we have long teased it, and of course we didn't want to tell anybody about this because we didn't want to get everybody's hopes up, but we are finally going to be reviewing episode one of Sorry Vicar Will Not Be Going to Tottenham Today. So first, my name is Heath.
I'm Angela.
I'm Shane.
And our special guests.
I'm Nutty.
Hello, I'm the Vicar. I mean, hi, I'm Tech.
So, that was a spot on impression.
Yeah, I've been working really hard at it, guys.
Extremely accurate. Brilliant. Vicar. So this is another one of those shows. Angela and I were, it's one of those we were aware of. It was kind of just on the periphery.
I kept seeing that on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, but you have to get like the BritBox subscription.
Yeah.
And yeah. But we didn't really know much about it. I know we had mentioned it a couple times on the show, but finally, Nutty and Tech and Shane just pushed and we were like, okay, we're going to give it a shot. And I'm glad we did.
This may be one of my favorite shows. Mm-hmm.
It is the most British thing that I have ever witnessed.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, indeed.
Tech, any initial thoughts here?
It's one of those things that, you know, just like you're saying, it exists on the periphery. You're watching other shows and, well, you enjoyed this. Would you like to watch this one? And it shows up in your YouTube feed and it shows up on Facebook and it shows up on Amazon. And it's one of these things that's always recommended, but you never really watch it. You never hear about it until you finally sit down, you watch an episode. Why haven't I watched all of this before?
Well, it's like, how many name drops for this show was mentioned in Jeeves and Wooster? I mean, it's just...
Right.
See, and I didn't realize that gif of the guy that's tipping his hat to the shrubbery, that was from the show.
I mean,
it was in the opening credits.
Yeah, from episode one.
Yeah, iconic, really. Does he do that every episode, Shane?
Yes, it does.
Oh, I can't wait to watch episode two.
Just wait until in the later series it starts changing. It turns into a Dick Van Dyke Ottoman gag where some days it's a shrubbery. One day, on one of the anniversaries, they tip their hat to Monty Python and it turns into a herring.
I can't wait.
Yeah, and
I have to be honest with you. All cards on the table. I haven't seen this show for about 5 years, mm-hmm. So I'm a bit rusty.
Yeah.
What was it like going back to it? Did it hold up to your original enjoyment of the show?
Oh, definitely. I mean, when Nigel first appeared, mm-hmm. You know, everything just comes flooding back.
Yes, and who couldn't love Nigel?
Of course.
He's so stupid. I love it.
Everybody's best friend. I mean, the actors that they had on this show portraying...
Oh, my goodness.
They had everybody. My personal favorite, Arthur Worthington Smythe, OBE, showing up from episode one again and again and again, just those acting chops.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like the whole Harry Potter cast and the whole Lord of the Rings cast, just all sort of mushed together.
It's like, hello, I mean, just, are you English? Like, yes.
Yes, please be on Sorry, Vicar.
Yes.
I will say, so it's one of those things where, you know, comedy changes over time, and we know this, and there's always a culture gap, especially for us Yanks over here trying to... I mean, even like the great shows like Fawlty Towers, you go back and some of the gags maybe don't work quite so well today as they used to, even if the show overall is still hilarious. So Nigel having the Venezuelan manservant, and I mean, the way that he was beating him with the shoe, it was funny at first.
Yeah.
But did it seem like the manservant really enjoyed it? Or was that just me?
I mean, it was that. Yeah, I don't think you're
like
reading into
that.
I feel
like there was a little subtext, maybe.
Yeah,
well, maybe but like the leather collar, you know.
But when he died,
yeah,
I mean,
super dark.
Like Joss Whedon had threatened to do that. Like have in Buffy episode one, he wanted Jesse in the opening credits, so that when Jesse gets killed. Sorry, Buffy spoilers, y'all.
Yeah.
But when Buffy gets killed in like the first two episodes, then it would come as like this really huge shock. And here, Yeah, I guess he was cribbing the idea from Sorry Vicar. Because...
Well, everybody knows Joss Whedon steals everything from the Brits anyway, so...
Yes.
Well, I mean, Douglas Adams' original idea for Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was that it was going to be a serial of different stories. The connecting thread was going to be that the Earth blows up at the end of every episode. But at the end of the first one, the story was so good, they just kept going with that one and never wrote the other ones.
Yeah. Mm. But here, yeah, I mean, they went straight to murder, and I was surprised, but I think I get it.
It's amazing.
And I just love how understated it's played.
Well, I also think it's really interesting how in such a short time frame we actually started to care about the character, even though we never got his name.
No.
Nor the Vickers, actually.
Hmm. But they make you care about so much else, of so many other things that's going on that... This is an odd sentence to say, but the fact that a Venezuelan manservant was beaten to death with a shoe is not what's important.
Yeah.
There's other things going on. There's all of the political subtext and everything else that they're doing, really highlighting
the garden show.
Highlighting the difficulties of everything that's going on in the times in Britain and what it really means, I suppose, to be a Brit. The one thing I will say about this show, a very avant-garde for a British show from the 60s and throughout all its series, is their rather frank portrayal of frontal male nudity. I mean, hooray to the BBC for doing this. And, you know, they're not doing it for laughs. They're not doing it for shock and drama. Although in the Vicar's case, shocking, I might say. But they put it out there to say.
TV's a lot more liberal out over there. I mean, like, we all got upset about seeing Dennis Franz's butt in the 90s, but like in the Beeb, they were already showing everybody everything. So,
but it's Dennis Franz. We didn't want to see that in the first place.
No, this is did true. You really want to see Chesterfield Pufferface's, wing dang doodle either? Not really, but it meant something. Just like, you know, with Dennis Franz, it meant something. It made the scene more emotional. It wasn't gratuitous.
I'm not sure if you guys know this or not, but there was actually a remake of a 50 television show.
Oh, yeah?
So what was the original like?
It was called Sorry, Reverend, But You Missed the Train.
Right.
Oh. See, that's a little more concise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was the train heading to Tottenham in the original, or did they add that for this one?
I honestly don't know, because unfortunately I did look for it online and you can't find it anywhere.
Huh. So, Tech, you discovered something about the Tottenham thing, right?
I am now really struggling to think that it reminds me of an old 40s French radio drama I heard called Monseigneur, j'ai marqué l'avion. And now I can't help to think that there may be a cross-European connection, because Monseigneur, I've missed my plane, suddenly comes to mind. That this may be I'm gonna have to look that up. I wonder if they're related now.
Mm.
Now that you're telling me that it's related to the TV show from the 50s.
Yeah. I did find out it ran from 1954 to 1958.
Okay.
And it did star a very young Diana Rigg.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
So you just can't
gotta look
episodes.
That one up.
No. I wonder if this is like a Doctor Who thing where they like accidentally burned all the tapes or whatever.
Okay, Doctor Who thing. I found some trivia, y'all. This is one of those weird BBC shows that apparently, and I don't know why we didn't just dive into this. I know we're going to go through them in order, but apparently, spoiler alert, there's an episode which is a crossover with Doctor Who.
What?
And Daleks come to the Abbey.
Are you sure it's not like a comic relief special?
I don't know. All I know is I saw a clip on YouTube and the Dalek was insisting that they have a cup of tea, which sounded very familiar. Wow. It was all, would you like a cup of tea?
So, I mean, it's...
That must mean then, because of course, the classic Doctor Who episode called The Curse of Fenric, which is set in a churchyard.
Yes. I've actually seen that one.
Yeah.
I did not even put that together.
If you look up the filming location, you might see that churchyard is in Tottenham.
Really?
Wow. Really?
But he never gets to Tottenham.
Da-da-da-da-da. Unless he has a box full of wibbly-wimey, timey-wimey stuff.
That would be fantastic.
Wow.
So I also have to confess, and I know that we're starting at the beginning, and I didn't want to jump ahead and get spoiled, but a while back somebody had sent me the opening credits from a later series of Sorry, Vicar. And while we're on the subject of crossovers, I could not help but notice a certain Mr. Danny John Jules dancing in the opening credits later on in full cat costume. I am very curious to know.
Well, every Abbey needs a cat.
Well, of course.
It's true.
I mean, sometimes they have four legs, paws, and eat mice, and other times it's an effeminate black man. I mean...
Danny John Jules can do no wrong. So I, for one, am looking forward to this.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. I got to see that one.
We got to see that. That's
now. Yeah. I'm curious. I know you don't want to spoil me, but does Nigel ever get to Tottenham?
I mean, I'm not sure. I want to know.
Yeah, don't tell us. Don't tell us.
I mean, I'm wondering.
Does a dream sequence count?
Maybe. But he seems so insistent about not going to Tottenham. Like, what's in Tottenham? What makes him not want to go? I feel like there's some hidden depths.
Like a deep, dark childhood secret?
Yeah, or maybe a lost love?
Like a gothic novel. Like there's something in the past that's going to come back later.
Which, honestly, I'm really interested in his possible budding romance with Flora, the other next door neighbor with the amazing garden, possibly why he's tipping his hat at the shrubbery.
Okay, not gonna lie, Flora's hot.
I mean, absolutely.
To interrupt, but in the 50s show, Flora was actually was named Emma.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I wonder.
And that person was actually played by Diana Rigg.
Oh, well, nice. Now we know why she's so sexy. She's so
Flora / Emma, always hot.
Always
hot. All right.
So we've talked a little bit about Nigel. Let's talk about the vicar. I mean, we have seen Ben Kingsley in a lot of roles, and he's like a chameleon. I mean, he can do anything. We know this. But, like, honestly, I sat there, and it was probably 10 minutes before it dawned on me who I was looking at.
It's one of those things with Ben Kingsley, right? I usually don't recognize him until somebody tells me it was him later. Like Sam Rockwell, you know, such a chameleon that only afterwards when you're reading the credits do you realize it was him. But yep, that's right. That's the Mandarin. That's Gandhi himself.
Yes.
that's the vicar. Yeah.
The whitey white boy vicar. Exactly. Complete chameleon. I think the little affectations that he does and the way that he speaks definitely kind of hides who the actor is. It definitely, it's the facial expressions, I think, to me were just fantastic. Somebody would say something and then the camera is right there on the vicar and he's just has completely the wrong reaction. And it's so funny every
time.
But it
never feels like mugging, you know?
No. But it's like, you know, he should be laughing, but he looks offended. He should be offended, but he looks horrified. You know, it just...
When buttoning up his cassock, he will always miss a button and then go back to it. But it's never the same button.
That's correct.
In terms of unexpected acting choices, when he is speaking at the funeral of unnamed Venezuelan manservant.
Was his name possibly manservant?
That would kind of make sense.
Yeah.
But like it felt like it was supposed to be this dour scene, but he delivered the eulogy in this really high-pitched, sort of lisping, foppish voice that he never uses again in the entire episode.
It's like, was somebody pinching him on the bum or something? Like, what was going on there? Did he...
But then what he said was so moving. I was moved to tears.
I was a little misty,
yeah.
Oh, that's...
But to get that effect, he actually held a helium balloon just before the take.
Oh my goodness, of course he did.
That makes so much sense.
And yet it was still so poignant. Like, that is mastercraft.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the thing is, actually, they had to ADR it because it didn't come out right on the take, so they had to ADR it in the studio.
So, like, was it bad or did the mic just screw up?
It didn't just feel right. He did mention in an interview and I'm just reading here, it did mention in an interview that it just didn't feel, it gave it a perfect performance.
Mm-hmm.
So about 2 weeks later, they went back into in studio and he did it via the ADR.
So I know, speaking of the studio, I know that a lot of this is outdoors and whatnot, but so is this a live shot or do they add the laughter later? I couldn't quite tell.
Oh, I read that was the crew.
What?
Yeah, that one. No, this is one of the things I looked up. Like I said, I kind of spoiled myself. But yeah, on the IMDb, it says that the laugh track, it's not a laugh track. It's not a live audience. It's that the show is so funny that the crew couldn't help themselves from reacting. So and it kept getting on film. So the director had the great idea to just mic everyone.
That is brilliant.
And okay. And that's why every now and then you'd hear the or the oh, and it would like really normally we wouldn't hear that from a live audience, but we were definitely getting like the tears of the crew during that eulogy.
Mm. So, you know, that makes so much more sense because I think one of them had a cold. I just thought that there was some kind of like virus going around the vicar's town there. Yeah. The incessant coughing was a little bit distracting.
So this was probably just some like key grip or best boy just hacking his lungs out. Okay. Mm-hmm. With a mic.
Or next to somebody with a mic.
That's what you get. That's what you get when you film in the Midlands, right? You do get a lot of factory workers, a lot of black lung, a lot of coal miners.
So I mean, going back to the plot, though, we've been just gushing about the series, but I guess we do need to cover some of the story at least. The central conceit of the show, as the title would indicate, is Nigel lives next door to, did they call it the vicarage where the vicar lives? What is the parsonage? What's the
Abbey?
Vicarage.
Oh, is it actually called a vicarage? Yeah.
Well, his house, not the church. UK,
yeah. Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, and the vicar, of course, is trying to get to Tottenham. Now, he said in this case he was just trying to pick up a bottle of whiskey, but I feel like his motivations may shift as the series continues.
I hope so, otherwise he'd be an alcoholic.
Well, it wouldn't be the first British show with an alcoholic priest character. I mean, and it seems like Nigel at first was like, I might. And so there was this sort of this will they, won't they feel.
But then once the manservant died, it was just not happening.
I mean, no.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see a very young Benedict Cumberbatch as a young ruffian trying to bum a smoke off of the vicar and then realizing that he was the vicar when the vicar slaps him.
Is that who that little ferret looking kid was?
Yes. Oh. He is the most adorable little otter. Yeah.
Getting slapped for asking for a cigarette.
Well, you know, kids shouldn't smoke.
Absolutely not.
So we haven't actually mentioned the church.
Yeah, it was a gorgeous set.
It wasn't actually a set.
Ooh.
It was actually Dome Cathedral.
Oh.
Hmm.
And you might have actually, I thought you might have recognized it actually, if I'm honest with you,
mm-hmm.
because it was actually used in the Harry Potter films as Hogwarts.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that used in something else that we podcasted about, Shane?
That was Harry Potter many years ago.
Oh, that was all aboard the night bus. I'm like, yeah, I know we've talked about this place before.
Gotcha.
That would make sense.
I'm pretty sure I mentioned.
Because you've been there.
Then.
Yes.
It's been a minute, yeah.
So Shane has been there. So you didn't tell me when we did that Harry Potter that you've been to the filming locations, or at least one of this infamous show, which, you know, way more popular than Harry Potter.
Mm-mm.
That must have been wild for you.
Yeah, it's got to be, like, just lasting impact. We cannot stress enough how big Vicar is.
I mean, for all we know, Rowling might have half gotten the idea for Harry Potter from.
I mean, we know that she's been influenced by a lot of things.
Yeah,
of course.
She steals everything too.
But yes. if you've ever watched British TV and laughed, it's because of No Vicar, and you just didn't know it.
Yeah. I recognize a bunch of little jokes that I've heard, you know, elsewhere, you know, Fawlty Towers, allo, allo, are you being served? Like, they're all just these little tidbits. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an influence there.
I feel like there's a proto Keeping Up Appearances mm-hmm. style bouquet character in there.
Well, the neighbor whole situation, like, yeah.
Yeah, she was just in there for like one scene. I really hope that they continue that character.
It was Judi Dench.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Well, I don't think she was a dame back then, so maybe she wasn't that important,
yeah.
You know?
That's true. I mean, yeah, maybe they would have had more of a shot at getting her regularly.
Just a young working actress, just a young Judy, you know?
Yes.
Just trying to pay the bills.
You know.
But to talk about the influence that this show has had on British comedy and British TV as a whole, like you said, there were some avant-garde choices, and in the middle of the episode, when they had a baking competition for creme pâtissières, and it didn't even seem like these were the characters. It seemed like the actors just started baking, and then, you know, they tried them and judged them, and then they went back to the episode.
Really
and
method.
At first, I wasn't sure if I had dreamed that or something. I had to rewind and watch it over again.
I didn't understand that part. I'm going to admit right here, I didn't understand that part. But apparently there are blogs that talk about how important and meaningful and how that was like a big political statement. And I think we're just not British enough to understand.
Gordon Ramsay did a cooking show where he tried to duplicate the pastry recipes.
Mm. Yeah, I saw the Binging with Babish episode. I think he does a little better.
Mm. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but I'm literally just looking online now, and I've literally just found a clip of the original 1950s show online.
Oh, okay. Nice.
It's literally only about 2 minutes long,
mm-hmm.
but lo and behold, it's got Christopher Lee in it.
Of course it does.
What? Of course it's got Christopher Lee in it.
Was he the vicar? Was he the Nigel character? Well, I guess the reverend, or was he the Nigel character?
Somebody's... As I said, it's literally only a 2 minute clip, so
okay.
So I'm not sure, but yeah, it looks like he's actually interacting with the vicar, so I'm assuming he's the guest star of the week.
So I'm curious, the actor that played Nigel, whatever his name was, why haven't we seen him do more?
Well, when you get typecast like this, I mean, it's very hard to come back from that. How many great actors have we seen that just don't get other roles anymore because they're so typecast in their characters? So that I can see why. I mean, why did Don Yarmy not get any other work after playing Maxwell Smart?
Yeah, that's true.
Arthur Worthington Smythe, OBE. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yes, that's it.
I do hear that he, like, in the early time of when conventions were becoming big, like in the 80s and 90s, he actually showed up to a few conventions. There's some footage out there that's, you know, VHS, that's really grainy. But it seems like he was very kind. He just seemed to be a little confused.
Yeah.
So are you saying that, you know, not all of it was acting?
Sometimes people don't really act. They more just play themselves.
A version of themselves.
Yeah.
And for that, it's just golden because, you know, mm-hmm. Nigel is the heart of the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I always took it, actually, if you don't mind me, I've seen the same footage as you have, but I've always took that as more of a, my goodness, why? How is this show so popular? Why are there people running towards me type of thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could you imagine meeting this person at a convention, though? Like, how cool would that be?
How many people are in line just to tip their hats?
Oh, yes. My God. Well, you'd have to. Oh, and do you think he's, like, sick of it?
Sign my shrubbery. Yeah.
Do you think he's sick of it?
It's like the I don't believe it guy.
I don't believe it. I bet no one's ever said that to him.
Yeah.
It's sort of playing like in Galaxy Quest, the Alan Rickman character getting sick of that same line.
By hammers of Grapthor, be avenged.
By Grapthor's hammer, yes. You have to say it correctly or somebody's going to correct us.
Eight curtain calls, you know.
Eight curtain calls.
Speaking of catchphrases, the one scene where Nigel goes to the shops and he's shopping for, I forget what it is he buys, maybe like a box of pencils or something, but he was like, oh, I'll purchase that for a pound. And it seems like RoboCop was referencing this show with the, I'll buy that for a dollar.
I never knew where that came from in RoboCop.
Yeah. And if only I had been watching more British TV, I would have known.
Well, one that I just caught on to, because I watched the whole first series, but at the end of the first series, you know, the Venezuelan manservant gets replaced.
Careful with the spoilers.
No. Gets replaced with a Welshman.
Oh.
And there's so there's the vicar, Nigel, and the Welshman out back trying to get his car to start. And it's this wonderful comic scene of three middle-aged men talking about trying to get their car to start. That's Top Gear.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
The BBC, not afraid to rip itself off and make...
Of course. A Band-Aid.
If my memory serves me, that's in the episode called Whoops, There Goes My B-Day?
Yes. That's it.
Because, yeah, the car was damaged, I suppose. But now that you say that, I think I have heard about this episode, even though... But they crash the car into the bidet, and then they have to fix it.
All practical effects, by the way. Yes, the bidet did go that high through the arcing skies of Tottenham.
Okay, well, people don't realize it was the director's bidet.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. There's so much I'm looking forward to in this series now.
So have we covered everything in this series, in this episode?
I think we've got most of, well, so you mentioned that they bring in the Welshman later, and again, back to how humor changes and stuff. It sort of reminded me of some other series, but there's that part where they start talking about the Welsh, and then like the insults just get worse and worse. Like,
oh, but it's okay because they're Welsh. That's the whole point.
It gets to where it's like not even funny, where they start talking about racial and genetic superiority and whether or not they should just pave over Wales. It was a little, and again, maybe it's just coming from a more modern perspective and not knowing much about Welsh and UK politics and stuff. But that, it struck me as odd to hear the priest, or the vicar rather, using that kind of language. Speaking of non-censored things, wow.
Yeah, especially that speech about his thoughts on the Welsh and how they were going to use a solution to solve the Welsh problem. Yeah. With all of that, people been doing that during a sermon?
It was weird.
Very avant-garde comedy for the 1960s, I must say. Yeah. But that's why we like the BBC, always pushing those boundaries, always pushing those buttons.
So I think that it goes between the line of, like, is it satire? But, you know, when you say satire so seriously, then does it just end up reinforcing those attitudes?
Well, what's that internet law? That's one of those internet laws where no matter how... the straighter you play your satire, the bigger chance there is that someone will actually believe you're serious.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hard to focus on the scene anyway, because Ben Kingsley being completely nude as he delivered that sermon.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe that lessened the impact for me of the actual words.
Speaking of impact, you go, Sir Kingsley. Is he a sir? I don't know.
Probably.
Well, it's not just the fact that he was nude. It's the fact that he was at full staff for the entire duration of that speech.
Well, you don't know. They kept cutting away.
Job. Yeah, but it's...
Sir Ben.
The hat wasn't hovering, my love.
So, shall we move on to quotes?
Well, there's one last thing, actually.
Okay.
Didn't you just before recording, this is something I didn't know. Didn't you just before recording mention this was America remade this?
Oh, that's right. We did find that out. It's really funny.
Yeah, sort of like Sanford and Sons was a a redo of like Stepford and Son or something like that.
Mumford and Sons, yeah.
Mumford and Sons, Mumford yeah. And Sons.
I was just on the brain there. No, and now I think I may be one of the few people that watch this show on this cast. But yeah, apparently Amen is a remake, which I don't see all the parallels. But Sherman Helmsley really kind of turned that into his own thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Think of the vicar tripping through the shrubbery and that, during the opening credits. And now think of Sherman Helmsley playing Double Dutch just before he goes into the church.
Oh. Okay, I can see that parallel.
I mean, I'm sure it's kind of like The Office. Like, you know, maybe the first season was a little closer, but then they sort of found their own voice and
I can't tell you that I've seen Amen in order, so there is that. Yeah, you may be right there.
You always get it on syndication late at night.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
A lot less nudity.
Yes. Well, this is America. America believes in censorship.
But the recurring role that Burt Reynolds played is just amazing as like the con artist that comes into town and tries to co-opt everyone to
wait in Amen or Vicar.
Oh, Amen. Yeah. That would be odd.
I'm about to say, I don't remember seeing him.
But yeah, tries to get everyone to go to Milwaukee, which I guess is a type of Tottenham. I don't know.
I don't remember those episodes. All right, let's move on to quotes. Okay. You got a quote.
Well, I mean, I've already said one, but I'll purchase that for £1.
There you go.
Okay, I'll go next if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. My apartment was on the seventh. My flat was on the fourth floor, but I had to go to the seventh because I thought you think of a different level.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I only picked this one just because of Flora's delivery. Just when she comes in and says, "Nigel, give me back my shoe." And that's when it's happening.
Yes. Like,
and when she sees the horrific event.
I mean, maybe if Flora hadn't worn such high heels, our Venezuelan manservant may have survived. But in the 60s.
I'm going to throw out there one of my favorite things that the vicar says in reference to Nigel. And he says that he's a few sandwiches short of a picnic. I did enjoy that.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Ties in nicely with the creme patisserie battle. Yeah.
Tech, did you have a...
When the vicar's down at the shops and there's this scene where he meets the shopkeeper and it was something along the lines of, "Hello, vicar, another pound of kippers." And the whole scene that sets off is just pure comic genius. I absolutely love that.
Oh, yeah, we could quote that entire scene.
That was a great scene coming up. But I will say that the entire time I kept having... Ace Rimmer run through my head.
Yeah.
Just the Kipper reference, you know.
I mean, I think we know that they probably stole like half the idea from Red Dwarf from this show, or at least the comic sense anyway.
Well, they stole Danny John Jules, so there is that.
That's right. Good point. Well made.
Yes. So,
I mean, it's amazing that this show went for as long as it did. I mean, they had, you know, 8 or 9 seasons, but spread out over 25 years.
Well, yeah. Shane, is this correct that I saw that they hold a every other year there is a convention held in Tottenham just dedicated to this show?
NigelCon.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes, indeed. I mean, the last one was done 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, so there's one coming up.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. We should all go over.
It was, if I can actually just get the figure here. Yeah, it was done, it was attended by about 4,500 people.
Wow. And the thing that's really funny is apparently they don't go there, but that's in a great place for it.
So as is tradition, what we have to do is we have to go there, but we'll all meet at Heathrow and find a plane landing from Venezuela and just beat everyone coming off the plane with shoes, and then we make our way to the convention.
No.
Oh, no. I don't want to repeat the
always too soon.
Yes.
Always
we won't be able
soon.
To deliver a eulogy so grand that it'll keep us from getting pinched.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. Shane will meet us at the airport and bring lots of helium balloons, and we will be fine.
Fine. So what does everyone rate this?
Oh, I have one more quote, though.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I mean, it's an obvious one, but there at the very end of the episode, when Ben Kingsley just looks at the camera, dead serious, His eyes just look like steel marbles. And he says, "Someday, Nigel, no matter how many people suffer, no matter how many people I have to kill, you will take me to Tottenham." And it just ends on that note. And
it's chilling.
Man, the hairs on my arms were standing straight
but
up.
But his facial expression was like, "I'm joking." But his voice was, "I'm not joking."
You close your eyes and it's like, has Ben Kingsley murdered a bunch of people before? Because it sounds like he has.
Right. But when you open your eyes again and you see that he's delivering this on a unicycle.
Yeah.
Again, naked.
Of course.
So ratings.
Sorry to interrupt, but there's actually, can I do spoilers?
You know what? Let's go. We're gonna relax the spoiler rule here.
Yeah,
because there's so much about this show on the internet. And I don't think there's anything that could spoil us watching an episode.
Because there's a classic scene in Series 7, actually, where Nigel gets into an elevator, and the elevator malfunctions, and it just goes, and the elevator just goes through the roof. Like kind of like the Willy
Wonka. Like Willy Wonka,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah. However, when the elevator falls onto the ground, he falls next to a sign saying, "Tottenham, 2.5 miles.
Wow.
So close.
And he walks in the other direction.
Of course he does. Oh, I can't wait for that. So, I am going to rate this. I'm going to rate it 9 out of 8 winning primroses out of 10 because we have to have room to go, right? This is only the first episode.
Right. Similarly, I would go, it was a good episode. I'm going to have to say like 9.2 out of 10 bloody stilettos.
I really enjoyed this quite a lot. And I do think it's got like, cause this was the pilot episode. They were just feeling out where they were going. So I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10, running otter face urchins.
I was really scared you were going to do like a backwards 2 here. All right.
No.
10 out of 10 naked unicyclists.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
I should not have timed my response for the minute that you took to take a drink because you very nearly killed your new computer.
Yes. It's okay. I would have gotten the pens.
Oh, okay.
They can be cleaned. Shane?
Well, as I said, this has been the first time I've watched this for about 5-6 years now. So, but it took me straight back to when I first saw it. So I'm probably going to have to. I know this might sound low here, but it's a caveat. Knowing where it's going to go, so I'm only going to have to give this a 7 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah, but the problem is it gets so much better.
Wow.
Seven out of ten.
All right.
7 out of 10. Oh, yes.
No, okay. Gotcha.
Okay.
So, Shane, what's our homework?
The homework for next time is goodness, I don't have the episode title in front of me. I do apologize.
That's okay. I've got it here. If you'd like, I was just kind of going through formality. It was no, that's not tea, Vicar.
So I guess we have to predict.
So if it's not tea, what is it? Are they going to Tottenham to get tea?
Yeah.
Did they actually get the whiskey at some from somewhere else?
Ooh, there we go. So
is it like more innuendo? Like maybe it's a bodily fluid?
Gross.
Well, given how after he gave his horrible speech about the Welsh, he talked about how much he hated those darn Irishmen. I'm thinking...
Yeah, that kind of bothered
me. Yeah, I'm thinking that he accidentally drinks a bottle of Tullamore Dew, not realizing that it's an Irish whiskey, and he has to sort of recant some of the things that he said about Ireland.
Recant or decant?
Oh, he's got jokes.
Sorry.
That is oddly specific.
Sorry, guys.
Tech, any predictions?
I think it is the whiskey.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we're going to see more drunken vicar rants, which are always good.
Well, you know, no matter what the episode's about, I think you're going to be correct in the fact that we're going to see more drunken vicar rants. Just a hunch. I mean, that's the whole point of the show, right? That and Nigel.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it has been fun. Thank you so much for joining us. And I can't wait. I'm so glad that you're going to be continuing with us throughout the series.
Yeah, so we will not be special guests. We are regular guests on this one because it's too good.
But you're still special in our
book.
All right. So until next time, we hope you will continue to buy us for a pound. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Cue the theme song.
No picker, no picker.
Yeah, getting Motorhead to do the theme song, by the way, brave choice, but...
So is it at this point we all say Happy April Fool's Day? Let's wait for Angela to come back.
I'm almost correct. But then I could do a cycle bit.
I know. I've been keeping score, and you guys have killed me so many times. This I'm like, I haven't gotten them with anything. I really got to step my game up. So yeah, the fact that he delivered this steely cold monologue on a unicycle,
nude.
Oh.
We are horrible people.
We're way too good at that.
I think it shows just how, you know what, talking about nothing. We're terribly good at it.
I believe the Brits have a phrase for that. Is that called waffling on?
there are competitions of this. You'll see it at cons sometimes. Where the two variants I've seen is you just have to steely-faced stare your opponent down, and you're only allowed to talk, and the first one to smile loses. Mm-hmm. Or there's another one which looks really fun. I want to get NCAF to play it. Is there's a book out there that's been written that is the worst novel ever written. And the idea, it's like there's no chapter 19. There is no chapter 19. Chapter 23 repeats itself three times in the book. It's non-sequential. Nothing makes sense. It is just an awful, 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 awful book that someone somehow got published. And... what you do is you try to read it straight, and no one can make it past a page.
Yeah. So, if we may, by the way, we were able to do that for about 40 minutes.
Yeah, we're monsters.
So we are awesome. So if everyone could say Happy April Fools with me and in unison, 1, 2, 3.
Happy April Fools.
Happy Fools in unison.
In the distant future, humanity entertains itself with countless hours of podcasts. But the podosphere is troubled. Corporate networks and true crime shows rule the iTunes rankings with an iron fist. The year is 2019. Our only hope, the Nostalgia Pilots.
Welcome to Nostalgia Pilots, a podcast that for 100 years has fought the evils of outer space. I'm your host, Hugh.
I'm Jared.
And I'm Jason.
And I'm Spence.
Four podcasters fight back by watching and discussing classic giant robot anime.
Hey, do we have any of those cancers left? You know, the underwater ones?
Yeah. Thanks, that's what we need in this episode is more.
Drop a couple Saturn rockets to it. It'll be
their first mission. Toonami mainstay mobile suit Gundam Wing.
Oh my god, you're describing the Spice Girls.
See? You get it.
Suit up at nostalgiapilots.com.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-NUTTY42.
Hi, I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel.